Possible.
Live.
We'll do it live.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You are a brand name.
Wow.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Baseball. Is this the first perfect game ever thrown by somebody who gave up 8 earned runs in the start before baseball?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick, 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk. Coming up from Disney Plus's World Best, actor Utkarsh Ambudkar. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. If you missed hours number 1 and 2, you missed a great chat with Louis Riddick from ESPN, giving us the AFC and NFC teams that we're not talking about that we should be talking about because of exactly how good they are. And great conversation there. And then we had Kyle Juszczyk on in hour number 2, the fullback, Pro Bowl fullback of the 49ers. And just when I asked him about the quarterback competition, if there really is a quarterback competition in camp this year, if they really do not know who their starting quarterback is on September 10th in Pittsburgh for week 1, that's when George Kittle hopped on the phone. That was fantastic. He said he texted me, he likes surprising me. Isn't that nice?
Hmm. That's nice.
You're about to surprise me with the what's more likely that's all over the map.
All over the map.
And if you missed any of hours number 1 and 2, we re-air on the Roku channel right away. And there's also our podcast. Go to where you get all your podcasts. Find the Rich Eisen Show all 3 hours every day thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. And hit us with a subscribe button. There's our YouTube page as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. So many different ways you cannot avoid us. Had a nice quick chat during the commercial break with Utkarsh Ambudkar, the co-writer and actor of World's Best, which is in Disney Plus. It is a hip-hop musical adventure. We are going to go down 2 different wormholes, the Washington Bullets wormhole and the Lin-Manuel Miranda wormhole.
No.
Because he's very well versed in both. And, of course, he's also on the hit show Ghosts on America's Most Watched Network, CBS. And you, TJ Jefferson, later on will finish up this show with a power ranking of your favorite all-time ghosts. Yeah, is that right?
That's the idea.
To the Post? Is that one of the ghosts?
To the Post? No. Nice. But, you know,
didn't we do shots with Dave Casper once? Or we were at a bar... Oh, we were at the hotel at the Hall of Fame. And Dave Casper was one of those straight-laced, old-school Hall of Famers looking at us like, what are you doing
there? That seems more likely.
I forget which one it was. At any rate.
By the way, Rich.
Ghost, it's going to be a fun 3 hour is basically what I'm saying.
Ghost is created and showrun by another one of Altoona's finest.
Who's
my
that?
Buddy Joe Port. He showruns
by the way,
Ghost with Utkarsh. So.
We haven't even brought this up. The other day, Patrick Renna, who is here talking about the Sandlot.
The Hambino.
And then he turns to you and like you've known each other. And I literally thought you had put him up to like making it seem like you knew each other because I always say like you're the Forrest Gump of this program that you float through life and meet everybody.
And did you see us greet each other when he came
in? I know. It's just another person. Like we all look at each other like, TJ knows everybody.
I want to walk a red carpet with TJ because literally he'd be like, oh yeah, hey. He'd know everybody on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of our guest Utkarsh, like he might remember this. About 2011, we did kind of a Yo Mama remix.
Okay.
We tried to bring Yo Mama back. It was a big trash talking competition. And he got selected to be the host of the show. It was something that Wilmer was
producing.
Why
wouldn't he remember that?
He wouldn't remember me, but I'm saying he might remember that particular endeavor. It was one of his first things, and it's been cool watching him kind of his career just kind of blow up ever since he did that.
Do you remember? It's dicey to bring that up to say to somebody, hey, do you remember me from Yo Mama? Wait a minute, what? Now, back in summer camp days, that's fighting words.
Yeah.
Speaking of summer camp, got a letter from Coop from camp.
Hey!
Here's a good one. Coop, this is amazing. He said, this morning in the shack, I did the good morning call, which I think is, you know,
like
on the...
getting on the PA.
On the PA.
Okay.
And he wrote, and Dad, I saw that Domingo Germán pitched a perfect game versus the A's. Did you pick him up, Dad?
Oh, God.
Did you?
No.
Why?
Because we're crushing it without him. We don't need him in our fantasy league. And plus, he gave up 8 runs to the Mariners the week before.
Yeah, what's more likely?
Right?
Well, that's a new what's more likely. So. Bonus.
I can't, by the way, I told you that story, right? Once that I once did the morning call at Trails End Camp.
And?
Oh, gosh. This is a good story, real quick.
Just one time? We'll
get
you
to
did
what's
it?
More likely. Yes.
Okay.
One time. Where, you know, they play Reveille, and then you'd get on. Yeah. Wake up the camp, and then you'd read the scores. And I did it, and I was so excited to do it because, you know, I was always wanting to do what I do for a living. I'm blessed. So this was back probably, God, what year would this be? 1980, 81, 82. So I'm reading the box scores. And who homered earlier in the day but one of the great third basemen in the history of Major League Baseball from the Philadelphia Phillies, Mike Schmidt. Except I was talking too fast.
Yep.
Oh, God.
And I left out the M in his last name.
Part.
Like Creek. Yep. You know?
Uh-huh.
And they thought, the camp thought... I did that on purpose.
I think you did it on purpose.
Because I was just fooling around, let me say the S-bomb,
seems
to the camp over the power, over the PA system.
You had the mic.
One and done.
That's it. You never got another chance.
Didn't get another shot.
Oh, Rich.
They shut it down. Curtain comes right down. But I was talking too fast.
All right, yeah.
Left the M. That the M hit the floor.
Which I said, let's speak the truth between us now. You did it on purpose.
I did not. Yeah, of course I didn't. I was like treating it like I was Marv Albert. Like I was Warner Wolf. Like this is my moment.
Let's go.
Out there
in
Peach Lake, Pennsylvania for Trails End Camp. Like I was going to crush it. My career was going to be launched right from there. And because of what happened, my entire career, comeback story.
Comeback story.
Comeback player of the year.
Comeback story. Yeah, it's basically a cautionary tale, but also, I think, inspirational. All you kids out there, when you speak to your camp and you mistakenly, inadvertently drop an S-bomb, and they think, and the camp management thinks that you are just fooling around, and they try and squelch your dream, don't... take that for an answer.
Yeah, just curse at him.
Keep on. No, don't just curse at him.
Oh, no.
I didn't mean to do it.
Oh,
and now I'm hearing my son's doing it now.
I wonder if he cursed.
Yes. He did not.
Oh.
Hey, you don't know that.
No, Coop's wondering, as he's reading the scores, he's like, oh, man, did you pick him up in fantasy?
Done.
No, because we're 11-1 at the end of this week through 12 Major League Baseball weeks. No, thank you. All right. Let's get to our Friday staple right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's time for What's More Likely. Hit it, please. Hit it.
What? What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Never.
The latest edition of What's More Likely in my comeback story of a career.
What's up, guys? Mike. Everybody good?
What's up, Chris?
Heading into the fourth weekend.
Yes, indeed.
Let's have some fun. Who's more likely to lead the NFL in receiving yards this year? Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or the field? One of those two guys or the field?
I'm going to go the field. I'm going the field. That's where I'm going. I see Justin Jefferson and I see Jamar Chase. I'm going the field. How about this? I'll give you one that is... Way out.
Garrett Wilson.
No, come on.
You know
I'm not cheerleading. No, I'm not going to do that. I'll give you one that is reasonable, right? I'll give you one that is reasonable.
Okay.
And I'll give you one that is way out there, or you consider being way out there.
Okay.
Reasonable. What about Stephon Diggs? What about... Josh Allen. Josh Allen.
For which team?
I'll feature.
Is he on Buffalo still?
I'll feature. Or how about, I'll give you one that might be out there. How about Jalen Waddle?
I was actually thinking him. That's kind of a long shot. But
how about
a reasonable long shot.
Right. Who else could be out there? How about this one? This is my one that you don't think is at all possible. How about Cooper Kupp? What do you mean? What's that laugh for? What's that laugh for?
He's been injured a lot lately, and his quarterback, we don't know, can throw.
Last time they both were healthy, what happened?
I think they won a big game.
And what did Cooper Kupp do?
He won an award.
He won the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Same guy, I bet.
Same, yeah. Most touchdowns. Hey,
you know what the price of gas was back then?
The field.
Still like $4.50.
Higher than what it is now. Gas prices are down, everybody. Yeah. This just in.
Go, Joe. Somebody's angry right now.
You just walked off the set. What else?
All right. Let's stay in the NFC West.
Yes, sir.
2022 hit quarterback to come back down to earth this year.
Can I tell you what one of them is?
Geno Smith
or
Brock Purdy.
What a downer. What a downer. Why can't you give me one that's more upbeat?
Because he won't stop talking about these guys like they weren't one-hit wonders.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't you hear what Lewis Riddick said?
I have to choose one? I don't want to choose one. I think that's terrible. I think you're putting me in a position. I don't appreciate it.
Wow.
But I have to choose one?
I mean, I would like you to.
I'll choose. Oh, my gosh.
Answer this, Rich. You're going to have fan bases angry at you with every answer.
No, they're angry at me. Don't you read the comments?
That is true. Like, how did Brock come up with this stuff?
They don't get the premise of the game.
I am Rich's meat shield on YouTube.
I'll go Purdy because he's got the less of a
resume,
and he's coming off of a significant injury. By the way, you know that it was a 6-month timetable to return. He had surgery on March 10th. Do you know when the first week of the NFL season is for the San Francisco 49ers in Pittsburgh? Is September 10th. 6 months to the day. What else, Chris?
A couple of big rookies joining their respective leagues. Number one overall picks, actually, Bryce Young and Victor Wembanyama. Who do you like to have the better rookie season, Crown Vic or Bryce Young?
Oh, I'll go with Wembanyama. I'll go with him. It's tough to do it in the NFL, pal. It's tough to do it. And it's interesting. They're two number one overall picks where their size was most discussed. One being for being so huge and what he's able to do, and one for being not tall enough and being able to what he's been able to do. Alabama is kind of like Tuscaloosa is kind of like the Paris of Alabama, right? What other analogies may I be able to bring to bear?
Greg Popovich and Frank Reich have beards.
I think Wembanyama is one of the most can't miss prospects, so I'll go there over Bryce Young. Good one though. Is that the all over the map type stuff? Like literally all over the map. Went to France.
No, we're still going. We got a lot. Let's rip through these. How about this one? Future Hall of Fame guard's career you'd rather have?
Okay.
Harden.
Harden or Chris Paul? Harden or Chris Paul?
I know which beard I'd want.
That's easy.
I'd take Chris Paul's beard. I don't know how Harden lives with that thing.
Think about these guys at the end of their career just bouncing around from team to team. It's kind of interesting. They're both going to the Hall of Fame.
I'll take Chris Paul. Do I have to give a reason? I'll take Chris Paul. Okay. Or I'll take James Harden because you know what? I'll go Harden. You know why I'll go Harden?
He would have went to the Beer Olympics.
Yeah, here's why I'll go Harden. Harden because he's so incredibly successful in this league and not having to really pay that much attention to his body. I kind of respect that.
But he is, though. You don't get that good without paying attention to your body.
No, he's not.
All right, we gotta review it. All right, what's more likely? Shohei Ohtani stays with the Angels or ends up elsewhere in 2024?
Elsewhere.
Come on.
Elsewhere. Elsewhere.
These stripes are going to look good on
Queens is in the house. Represent.
Where?
What if he's the
Sane elsewhere.
What if he's the Dame Lillard of Major League Baseball?
Okay, I understand what your analogy is, that he likes where he is, and he's not going to demand anything, and he's just going to see how it plays out, and he's going to be chill.
Chris, what if he takes the Tony Gwynn route?
That's what I mean. Just stays in one spot.
20 years in one spot.
You don't know.
Tony Gwynn made a World Series. Tony Gwynn hit one off the fair pole in Yankee Stadium in game one and scared the crap out of me until, for whatever reason, Mark Langston threw one right down the middle of the plate on Tino Martinez. It was called a ball. And then he hit a grand slam home run, and the rest of that World Series turned on that dime. Yeah, that was there.
That was a blowout.
Mark Langston threw strike three to Tino Martinez.
And they call
at any out. Rate, elsewhere. What else, Chris?
All right, the Tour de France starts tomorrow,
oh,
guys.
Oh, my God. Where are we going with this? Which one do I like? You know, 10 speed or 5 speed or
e-bike.
Beach cruiser?
We're not on this. Formula E? Formula E?
You're not going to see where this is going.
Okay.
Tour de France starts tomorrow, guys.
Tour de France.
And in a few days, we have our most famous competition. Which summer event would you rather compete in? The Tour de France or the hot dog eating contest?
Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
A test of endurance.
I don't know if I'd be able to last. Which the question is which one would you be able to last in the least? No. Last longest? Is that, I couldn't imagine the Tour de France. Like, I need training wheels.
Yeah, there's a reason they're all on steroids.
Oh, my God. How dare you talk about that way about Joey Chestnut? How many hot dogs do you think we could eat competitively?
Combined?
Yes.
Like if we all, by the way, combined, could we beat Joey Chestnut?
How about this? What's more likely?
No.
What's,
four of us beat Joey Chestnut.
No, what's more likely? A competitive eater performing well at the Tour de France?
Or
a cyclist performing well at the competitive eating.
Cyclist. For
you
sure.
Think?
Yeah, for sure.
Could eat the.
I mean, I had the hot dog.
Joey Chestnut could last 10 miles on
without
a bike?
Vomiting. Yeah. Without vomiting. Without
who
vomiting.
Who says the cyclists don't vomit?
Oh,
wait. I once showed the kids the Joey Chestnut July 4th. They found it disgusting. They're like, turn it off. I thought they'd find it funny.
It's great.
Susie's like, it was a bad moment. Susie's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I think they'll like it. She's like, I think it's terrible.
This was outside,
so there was no influencing. The kids didn't hear her opinion. So it's not like mom put her thumb on the scale. Mm-hmm. They were aghast. They were horrified.
It's horrifying
to watch.
I had hot dog last night.
Did you dip it in water and then open your maw and jam it in like whole?
I had them from Earl's and Crenshaw, and I could probably do four max, so that's all you're going to get out of me.
All right, yesterday was the anniversary of Trading Places.
Yes,
release.
It was, yes.
You can only watch one Eddie Murphy movie the rest of your life.
No, it was Coming to America.
Yeah. I screwed it up. Doesn't matter. We're going Trading Places. Only one Eddie Murphy movie the rest of your life. Trading Places or Beverly Hills Cop?
48 hours.
Mike, not playing the game.
I'm sorry. I'm being like people.
So it was the anniversary of Coming to America.
I took it out.
It's all right. You take it out of the mix, and it's either Trading Places or Beverly Hills Cop.
For the rest of your life. Only one.
Trading Places.
Beverly Hills Cop.
I watch Trading Places if I don't go out for New Year's Eve, which I don't anymore. I watch Trading Places every year on New Year's, so it's Trading Places.
Trading Places. Three words. Jamie, Lee, and Curtis. Yeah. End of story. Get out of here.
Four
yesterday,
words.
Indiana Jones released the new one.
Capricorn.
The legendary Harrison Ford character you'd rather be.
Ooh.
Indiana Jones or Han Solo?
Han Solo. I don't want anything to do with snakes or
but he always comes
spiders.
Out. It's fine.
It doesn't matter. I don't need to be around them.
But Han Solo's just floating through space.
I am flying through space.
Untethered.
Nah. I am flying through space.
He got frozen in that thing.
Hanging out with Princess Leia?
No. He was frozen for years.
Yeah, he got frozen in that thing.
Oh, by the way. Do me a favor. Freeze me in carbonite, okay?
Carbonite, thank you.
Because if you freeze me in carbonite, what a nap. I can only imagine one of the greatest naps of all time. Honestly.
The whole time. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I would be sleeping. Oh, my God. What a nap.
I'd be sleeping.
My right eye is twitching as I'm saying that. By the way, I said that to you before the show. Chris, I just said it to you, Hunter. Good stuff. You were really all over the map.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, Han Solo. What are you kidding me?
I don't know, man.
Indy, man. He's a bad boy.
Man, Indy was a coxman.
What?
Did I say that right? That's what Michael Rapaport said.
What, he was rowing in a boat?
Yes.
He could do that.
Cox swing.
Oh,
my God.
On, we're
let's take a break. Stop
he's
it.
He's a legendary stick man.
We're going to be at summer camp. I don't want to get off this show.
And boot car. He's a diehard Oriole fan, so why is he wearing a Ricky Henderson gamer on our screen going to break? I don't understand.
Inside Look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen. For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We just saw a clip of World's Best, available now for streaming on Disney Plus, which is available right here on Roku. The star of that film, and also Ghosts, Utkarsh and Budkar, here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you co-wrote the songs in this film,
We just had a chance to do everything. Sean Bailey at Disney gave me the keys to the kingdom, preferably the metaphorical Disney kingdom. He was like, meet Mickey, and welcomed me in. And I got to work with all my childhood friends. Jamie King and I wrote the script together. Charlie Wilder and I wrote the music together. Roshan Sethi, who's an incredible director, directed the film. And cool poster.
Yeah, it is.
And then Tommy Kail, who I've been working with since I was 20, he directed Hamilton and produced the film for the Disney Plus. He made the movie with me, and we just had, like, a blast. We went up to Toronto, saw it, watched a lot of Blue Jays games from my hotel room, which looked down onto the stadium.
So the whatever they call it, Rogers Center now, you were in that hotel that looks out on
Rogers.
I did that when I turned 21 with my friends. We road tripped from New York City, all the way there. Got there, watched the Yankees get blown out by the Blue Jays. Drove 20 hours just to watch them give up, I think, 5 runs in the first inning. And Pat Henkin shut them out the rest of the way. Just fantastic.
Oh, those Blue Jays. Joe Carter, baby.
That was back in the day, man. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
And so just lingering a while here on your film. Here,
right. The movie.
How'd you come up with the idea here of a 12-year-old kid loses his dad, learns he's a rapper? Okay. What do you got for me right here?
I was doing this movie for Disney Plus called Godmothered, and I was sitting in Video Village with Allison Ehrlichman, the producer who produced it with me, and I was like, so what are we going to do together? Jokingly. And she's like, what do you got? And I was like, well, it's Disney, so you need a dead parent. let's be real.
I'm not lying, by the way.
I know what it is. Mufasa. And Bambi's mom, and just on down the line.
Frozen? I mean, they go down with the ship?
We teach the kids Lost. That's what we do, baby.
It's the truth.
And how to deal with it. And apparently how to be a single parent. But so I was like, you got a dead dad. I know you want me to rap. So the dead dad's a ghost. Who knows how to rap? Kids in math, because I'm Indian, and I was bused to high schools for math when I was 13 years old, which was a life experience that, you know, we need hours to unpack.
Yes.
But I'm like, what does it mean when you're in a community and you're not a part of? And you find out that there's hope in the form of a parent, your hero, who you've never met, who might give you the chance to be something different, to find a new identity. And for me, you know, that was theater, it was music, it was art. While both my parents were PhDs, and, you know, they were doing their best to be like, education, science, math, like, this is how we succeed. This is what got us to this American dream. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's what got you the American dream, so that I could F around and rap. I was like, and thank you. God bless you both. And then I just sort of like chipped away. I got a chance to rap at the Oscars and at an after party, which is like the only time I've ever and ever will be at an Oscars after party.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? Knock wood.
Right.
Sean Bailey over at Disney was like, hey, I saw you in Freestyle Love Supreme on Broadway. I love your work and we have a lot of connections and I'd love to meet with you. And so I sort of plucked this sort of joke idea that had been born on set and fleshed it out with Jamie and put some sketches together for some songs and went and chatted with Sean, and thank you, Sean, so much for the opportunity. And now
here we are. We went into production. It all just kind of came together really harmoniously. And what you have is a beautiful Disney film, a coming-of-age story about this boy, Prem, played by Manny Magnus, who's one of those diamond-in-the-rough kind of finds. This young man, he's like 6.5 feet tall now, but he's like so good. Raps, sings, acts, dances. His mother's his number one supporter. He's truly like a special performer. And we got to tell this story of the first sort of South Asian nuclear family to be on a Disney network of any kind. So I'm super proud of it. And it's there in perpetuity until streaming falls apart. Yeah, and it's lost forever.
And knock on wood, he's certainly here on the Roku channel, Disney, and where Disney Plus is available on Roku. Streaming's not falling apart.
Yeah.
It's called World's Best, and it's available now for streaming on Disney Plus. Utkarsh Ambudkar here on The Rich Eisen Show. So how did you meet Lin-Manuel Miranda? How did you cross paths with him for the first time?
I was 19 or 20 years old, and I walked into a room where they were holding auditions for this group called Freestyle Love Supreme, yes. Which, for those who don't know, it's an improvisational rap group. And there were a bunch of busted mics. It was called Ultrasound Studios on between 7th and 8th on 32nd Street in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And there was this little Puerto Rican dude with a goatee. And he looked at me and I looked at him, and it was like two pups from the same litter. We kind of sniffed each other's butts, so to speak, picked up our dented mics and started rapping together. And it was just synergy. It just, Lin has always been somebody who has raised the bar, and for me and vice versa. And we're always so happy to see the other person be better, because it means we're constantly growing. He's a good friend. I just saw him a couple weeks ago. I stayed at his house before we did the Tonys together.
Of course
you
did.
Where he sat in the front row, front and center, and I sat in the front row all the way on the right with the cameraman.
You're at least two rows in front of Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah. But I still had everybody's butts in my face. It was just cameraman crack all up in my grill for 3 hours.
Well, you know, is it true, though, that did you originate the role of Aaron Burr in the developmental readings of Hamilton?
Yeah.
You did.
If you listen to the original demos, Lin is doing his version of what he thinks I sound like when I rap.
Okay.
So it's all like, how does a bastard orphan son? He thinks that's how he thinks I sound, a little bit like Marlon Brando. And he brought it. He included all of us, myself, Chris Jackson, Alex Lacamoire, sort of his family, Tommy Kail.
Yes.
And we did a few of the readings, and through a series of fortunate events, I've come to learn that opportunity sort of passed me by, and other ones came up, and we still made it on Broadway together in the Tony Award-winning production of Freestyle Love Supreme. But yeah, Aaron Burr was the first one to rap those words, other than Lin.
And it's a brilliant.
There
you guys are.
Hey,
look at you guys!
Those
right
are
there.
My buddies.
They are indeed as talented as all get out for
we
sure.
We all have that tattoo, that FLS tattoo on our body somewhere.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So let's get into what you're wearing today, sir, for our radio audience. Is that a Washington Bullets?
And look at this! I got the Billy Hoyles, baby.
You get the Billy Hoyles on.
Those are
huh?
nice.
Not the Jack Harlows. These are the Woody Harrelsons.
Billy Hoyles.
Don't get it twisted.
The original ones?
Come on.
So who's your favorite Washington Bullet? Who you got for me on that
My
one?
My favorite Washington Bullet.
Back in the day?
Back in the day.
Did you go to in Landover, Maryland?
Well, I grew up in Maryland.
Okay.
My favorite of all time is just the Hibachi, for sure. Agent Zero. He was a wizard, but my gosh. Gilbert Arenas, I still think that if somebody picked him up on a 10-day contract, he'd cook. He would cook. Let the man do his work. He's better than Dylan Brooks. But my favorite Bullet? By default, probably Juwan Howard.
Okay.
He was sort of our claim to fame, but the Bullets are the place where all great players go to die, right?
Sure.
Moses Malone, Bernard King, Mitch Richmond, Air Jordan, Russell Westbrook, and I know, like, now we're tanking a year after Wemby. Dude, what? So I know that when Wemby is like 36.
And, he'll be coming.
Oh, he's going to be a Washington Wizard.
He's going to be a dynamite wizard. 100%.
We had Chris Paul for a hot second, Russell Westbrook. We just end careers, man. It's just what we do.
Yeah.
We're just known for taking Hall of Fame careers and making them just a little less special.
But that's a pretty special starter's jacket you got on right now.
Yeah, I'm super proud of this one.
Yeah, I bet.
I had the warm-up suit, too. I was thinking about
that. The whole thing? You thought you were going to come in the whole thing?
Yeah, no, I had the snap warm-ups and everything from the same Bullets year.
Well, we've never had somebody come out and appear on the show and then snap off the pants and then sit down in the interview chair.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about
I mean, this is not your only rodeo here next time.
My gosh.
And I'm not saying goodbye to you right now. I'm just coming up with the idea.
I would love that. And we've had so many close calls. Like, there was one year that we got Mark Price. We had We had Mark Price for 8 games. Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, sure. Mirasan, Chaney. We were ready to go. We took those 96 Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, we lost that first round series by a total of 9 points.
I might have done some of the highlights on SportsCenter back in the spring of 96 and fall, summer 96. That's when I first got there.
Dude, when Cal Ripken broke the record.
Yeah.
It was probably you.
I was on the SportsCenter set. I remember when he was running around the perimeter of Camden Yards.
Yeah, that was
high-fiving everybody.
Oh, my God. Amazing. That was the biggest probably sports moment that I witnessed in my life.
Were you there, or you just mean
just
sitting
on a television?
Oh, I got it right, sure.
It was that, the last shot by Jordan, Kobe's last game, probably when Andre Agassi won Wimbledon the first time.
Sure.
What was the biggest thing that you were there for?
Biggest thing I was there for, I guess it just in terms of the NFL, I was in the 20 years with the NFL Network, I was there for the helmet catch. I was at pretty much name any sport Super Bowl moment the last 20 years I was fortunate to be there for. When I was on ESPN, unfortunately, for you being an Oriole fan, that was when the Yankees were just taking care of business against, against the Orioles, thanks to Jeter and Jeffrey Mayer, in one particular instance.
And a fan.
That's Jeffrey Mayer.
Oh, Jeffrey, man.
Yeah, that fan.
When I stopped being an Oriole. That's when I stopped following baseball.
They beat it out of you?
I quit.
Richie Garcia, the umpire who called that a home run, he beat it out of you.
Done.
Huh?
Finished.
Out.
I remember that moment, and I was like, I think I'm done here. No more. No more for me. It hurts so bad. When you're young and you see something that unfair go down,
yes,
you're just like, I can't do this, man.
You tapped out.
No, couldn't do it.
And I think the Orioles are, for the first time since then, pretty damn good right
now. Yeah, they're worth watching again. I need to dive back in.
Okay.
I know I do.
Yeah.
My guy, Brandon Scott Jones from Ghosts, is also from Baltimore. He's a huge Orioles fan.
Yeah.
So he's been like, come on, man. Get back in. We got to go back to Boog Powell's. We need some of that barbecue, baby.
Yeah.
I remember thinking a signed ball from Boog Powell was a very big deal.
Yes.
It's not. No. He gives them out. I mean, those are easy to come by.
Wow.
But thank you, Mr. Powell. Thank you so much.
Brooks Robinson back
day. Third base, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See?
He's one of the sweetest men I've ever met, for sure. Do you want to stick around for one more segment? You up for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because TJ Jefferson, who or you may...
Hi, TJ.
TJ, do you remember Yo Mama, the show that he was producing back in the day?
That was a big break for me. I remember.
TJ, were you the one who gave Utkarsh his first his big break?
I can't take credit for giving him the hosting job. I can only take credit. What we did was, it was kind of like a sweet 16 of trash talking comics. So I went on Twitter and YouTube, and I kind of collected all these comics to have, this battle. And he was our host for this.
Okay.
And I don't think we shot the pilot, and then I don't think anything ever happened with it.
Okay. No, I failed you, TJ.
You did not. You did no such thing.
I'm sorry, TJ.
Your career was definitely destined for much greater things. And that's why you're sitting
agree
in the
to
chair
disagree.
Right now.
Well, TJ has a top 10 list of your favorite ghosts of all time?
Just top ghosts of all time.
Okay, I don't know if he was able to fit in your current character.
It was an honor of...
From either your TV show on CBS or your film that's currently on Disney+.
Mm-hmm. That's okay, TJ.
But if it's all right, you'd be here and you help us I guess, judge his work, if you don't mind.
Let's hear it, buddy.
All right, let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
But first, a break.
That's right, but first, we'll be right back right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a fun, busy Friday.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Lose-lose for us all.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Utkarsh, I'm Budkar here on the Rich Eisen Show. You and I have something in common. We have both worked with the legendary voice of the booth, Jim Brockmeyer.
Oh, yeah.
We have.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That's so cool.
You worked with Jim Brockmeyer. Do we take credit in a way of bringing Jim Brockmeyer's career back from the abyss?
100%. I would say that.
I would say you have to.
Unequivocally.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Jim sat in that very chair.
Dude,
and cursed out Brent Musburger from that very chair.
Hey, he's got some strong opinions.
He
that
does.
Man. Yeah. We had a very fevered competition.
Yes, you did.
I think we both won, ultimately. We had different priorities. But my goodness, that man is a force to be reckoned with.
He is a force to be reckoned with, you know, and he only knows one speed, good old
alcohol.
Jim Brockmeyer.
Yeah, he only knows one speed, inebriated.
Jim Brockmeyer, everybody. What did he call? He called, Jim Brockmeyer called Pete Carroll the world's oldest teenager?
The world's oldest teenager. Now that Dick Clark is no longer with us.
Oh, that's right. Now that Dick Clark's no longer with us. Yeah. What did he say? What was his line about Tebow? What was that line about Tebow?
All the fiery rage and competition of Ray Lewis and the thrilling ability of Ray Lewis.
That's right.
Such a joy. Like, that was, I mean, and
what,
Hank.
What, 3 years? 3 years with him?
I just got to come in as for a guest.
That was it, huh?
Yeah, it was, and it was,
okay.
But it was full and really fun, and we're still, Brockmeyer and I still talk to this day on a regular basis.
Brockmeyer appeared on Levitard's show just yesterday.
Yeah, he's been doing some stuff.
I'm just thrilled that he's still around.
Yeah. I'm happy for him. I think he's made some great life changes. He's sort of distanced himself from his past, some decisions he may have made.
I think he can't escape it, though.
But you never shut the door on it.
Yeah, I know. I can't stop playing the straight man to Jim Brockmeyer, even if he's not here and, you know, doesn't exist. It's just always a lot of fun.
But he's our favorite imaginary person.
Yeah.
Who's in real life also, in all of our hearts.
Good old Hank.
Hank is the best. Hank, I love you, man. I'll call you later and tell you about this so you're not surprised.
Right. Hank watches this show quite a bit on our YouTube stream, so it's all good. We got to get Hank back here. At any rate, let's talk about Ghosts a little bit and the success of that show. Season three, right?
Season three coming up if we can take care of some of the things going on in our industry.
I know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. We're all, there's nothing, it's June, what is it, June 30th?
It is that, today's the day, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we gotta figure out what's going on, guys.
Okay.
That's why I'm here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That's right. Again, Disney Plus is how you can stream World's Best. You do play a ghost in that film.
And in the
Ghosts. And the Ghosts, you're in Ghosts, even though you're not a ghost.
Correct.
In Ghosts,
correct.
There are a lot of ghosts.
Correct.
You're not one of them.
Correct.
Season three is coming soon on CBS. But coming much sooner, TJ Jefferson, we figured we'd have Utkarsh stick around here, since you go back like a car seat, right?
A little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At any rate, you have a is it a power ranking?
Based upon, you know, Utkarsh being here and World's Best and Ghost, it kind of like, I was drawn to just making a list of my favorite ghosts. So I'm going to power rank these and I'm going to grab bag these. It's going to be a combination.
All right.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Hold on a second before you start. What did you think of that rapping right then and there? Just off the bat.
An original song by you, TJ?
I don't think so.
No, that was great.
That was excellent production value.
I'll take credit for
that. Okay, here we go. Go for it, TJ.
Well, so like I said, we're going to power rank these ghosts, and we're going to give you a 10 through 6 power ranking. So real quick, coming at number 10 of my favorite ghosts, I got Ghost Rider. You know, the Nicolas Cage movie, nice. Johnny Blaze.
Okay.
If you're into the comic book. Come to number 9, we got Ghost from Power. You know, a recent visitor of ours.
Blueberry.
Blueberry cereal. Hey, let me tell you something.
Yes.
Every Halloween,
yes.
Blueberry would come out, and everybody that knows me knows I would grab up like 5-6 boxes of Blueberry. And I would stack them. I'd stash them like a squirrel for the whole year. Like, and I don't eat cereal anymore. But man, I used to love Blueberry. I had to put it in there at number 8. At number 7. We got the ghost from Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man. We're talking Inky, Binky, Pinky, Clyde. And if you're talking Miss Pac-Man, you got to throw Sue in there.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Number 7. And at 6, we got, you know, Slimer from Ghostbusters. Okay. Made of a blue ectoplasm. The first ghost that they successfully captured. We had to put it in at number 6.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's just pause before you move on. Utkarsh, you have any 2 cents you want to throw in here?
I think there's an argument to be made for Ghost Rider being ranked much higher.
Much higher, okay.
Because that's a really good one. Maybe we put all video game ghosts in? Because what about, like, Castlevania, the Mario ghosts?
Like Castlevania. That was where there was, like, video would pop up in between. Oh, I remember that.
It's like ahead of its time.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of ghosts, you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
In the video game sphere. I hope Casper is on this list.
Well, wait, there's 5 more to come.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the use of cereal here so far.
Blueberry was the most delicious.
I don't know about that. I was kind of a Frankenberry guy.
Count Chocula.
But that's pedestrian.
That was too much.
You know, what's the difference between Count Chocula and, say, like, Cocoa Crisps?
Yeah, or Cocoa Pebbles, for that matter.
Pebbles, if you want to do Crisp or Pebble. Yeah.
Cocoa Crisp was literally just chocolate chip cookies and you put milk on
it. To me, I meant Cocoa Crispies. I'm sorry. Cocoa Crisps were actually
Cookie Crisp.
But Blueberry is a...
Blueberry's a deep cut for the kids today.
And like
Blueberry. I said, don't know about Blueberry.
That would come out right around Halloween time, and I just stack up boxes of those things.
Okay, sorry, TJ. Right. Now
we just might have saved the film industry and Blueberry in the same episode.
That's what I'm here to do.
The folks at General Mills are very appreciative.
Blueberry's back.
Yes. Blueberry movie? Is that what I just heard?
Okay.
Wow, Blueberry movie, guys. Look, writers, we need them to write this Blueberry movie. Strike's over.
Let's go.
All right, very good. What else you got over there, TJ?
All right, so now
big finish.
Top five. Now coming in at number 5. We got Jacob Marley and the Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Yet to
The George
come.
C. Scott version?
Well, any version, really, but that was the one that seemed to resonate the most.
It's an interesting choice.
It's the most popular one.
The former business partner of Ebenezer Scrooge. He wanders the earth. He's weighed down by chains and money boxes, and he's like, look, Scrooge, you better change your ways or you're going to end up like me.
He's scary.
He gets visited by the ghosts, and they try to help Ebenezer better himself. And that's why I thought, you know what? Let's put them in there at number 5. Coming in at number 4, we've got Dr. Malcolm Crowe from The Sixth Sense. Look, Crowe's a child psychologist. He's very intelligent.
Spoiler alert! What are you doing over there?
If you don't know that by now, then that's a you problem. And I've never seen the movie.
No! You just ruined it for Mike!
You know, he's an intelligent man. He knows how to talk to his patients in a fun and serious way to make them comfortable. And then, you know, he meets up with this little kid, and the kid tells him, I see dead people.
That
and
he goes,
wait a second. He sees me.
He sees dead people.
Put 2 and 2 together. Hey, that's on you if you haven't figured that out yet. Next, we got my man Sam Wheat, played by Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, of course.
Sam, you know, he's an office worker in New York. He's living with his longtime girlfriend, Molly, who makes pottery, as we all know.
Yeah. And, the Everly Brothers.
Sam's in the bank. You know, he works in the bank, and he sees some accounts. They're a little too fat.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so he decides to say something. Next thing you know, a guy named Willie meets him in the street, and he
The president's doing some shady stuff.
Sam was like, yo, let's get to the bottom of this, and then he goes to Carl, who he thought was his boy.
He's Carl, the president.
But Carl was in on it. Carl was down with it. So what's he do? He sends Willie Lopez to wet him up.
Willie,
and then kills Sam. And the next thing you know, Sam realizes I'm a ghost. I got to talk to Molly, played by the great Demi Moore, because she's so fine. I got to let her know she's in danger.
Push the penny under the door.
So, hey, I find Oda Mae Brown, played by Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, and she, I got she it.
Said, number two. Line,
Molly, you in danger, girl. And, you know, that was it. That
we
was
got
Sam.
2 minutes.
Coming in at number two, Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, there he goes.
Come on.
There
he goes. How could you be scared of Casper? He's friendly.
Number one.
He's pleasant.
And
you
now
know.
I'm trying to think who's number one.
What's number one, I'm just going to say it like this. It's my man Beetlejuice, okay?
Beetlejuice
is the best, man. He's the best. He's the ghost I want to hang out with the most. All you got to do is say his name three times. He'll pop up. He'll get people.
Don't say it another time. You've said it twice. Careful.
Maybe I want him to show up. But anyway, that's it. That's my number one. Okay. And, you know, as always, I like to hear what everybody
well
thinks.
All right. Hold on.
That's great.
Karsh, what do you think of that?
TJ took all the time up, so I'll just say, great job. I think Slimer should be higher, but that was great. And I like the Casper version where he has legs, because he didn't always have legs. Sometimes he just would have that, like, floaty little nightgown.
Yeah, and that was a little creepy.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Look at him.
Because that means Casper is not anatomically correct. And when he's got legs.
Is that what happens when you become a ghost? You lose it?
I don't know. Utkarsh?
Possibly.
That's not the Disney
Let's
Plus
ask
version.
The writers.
That's Disney minus. That's Disney minus.
I'm gonna send a text to Joe Port right now. Have
yeah, send
tell
it
us.
To Joe Port. Let's
oh
get on it.
Oh my gosh!
And by you the can't way, have kid ghosts. By the way, it's way too depressing. No, we do no kid ghosts on our show.
Well, could you imagine? You're like, you know what? I got July 4th weekend coming up, and you know, I got time down, and I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna watch a movie, and I'm gonna watch the Rich Eisen show first, but. And then he spoils the movie.
I still haven't seen The Sixth Sense, so let's
just sit down.
Oh, come on!
That's on you guys at this point.
Bruce Willis has great hair in that movie.
Sure he does.
He looks good.
For a ghost.
Shout out, Bruce.
Utkarsh Ambudkar, at UTK The Inc. Is that what I was saying?
Yeah, INC.
The INC? Okay.
I mean, it was a poor choice.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.